Welcome to the Everyman Sports Podcast, the show for fans, by fans. No former pros, no so-called experts, just real passionate fans. From outside on a porch to inside a living room, in the parking lot of a stadium to the dining room table, friends and families chat about their teams, their games, and what makes them cheer. This is Everyman Sports.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. Excuse me. Our number is 626-427-7678. That's 626-427-7678. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook and all those wonderful things that my friend Andrew Danish will be telling you about at the end of the episode. But I thought I'd mention them right here. Here we are. It's a Wednesday night. I'm here with my dad. How you doing, Dad?
I'm doing great, son.
And live on the phone, our friend Alex. How you doing, Alex?
I'm doing very well. Hopefully you can hear me okay.
Loud and clear.
Yeah, we can hear you loud and clear. And if I may, this might be one of the last few ones you are joining us on this side of the pond. Is that correct?
Yeah, so UK government post-Brexit has finally decided to pull their finger out, so I might be going back into the world of UK sports. So I'll give you all the updates from the Premier League and Premiership Rugby, I can be the international correspondent for the podcast.
Well, I think that'd be great. And I do want to hit upon something about the Premier League, and we'll talk about that shortly. But first, I want to begin with the most pressing current sporting events going on. Last night, again, this is being recorded Wednesday, October the 5th. Last night was the first wild card game of the Major League Baseball playoffs. Toronto Blue Jays beat the Baltimore Orioles in 10 innings by the score of 5-2. It was supposed to be a slugfest, and it had home runs, but it didn't live up to what people were expecting. It was a bit of a pitcher's duel up until bottom of the 10th, when Edwin Encarnacion hit a three-run homer off of Ubaldo Jimenez, who used to be in the bullpen, then he became a starter again. And according to manager Buck Showalter, he was the best pitcher they had leading up to that game. And of course, their closer, who is getting Cy Young Award consideration, Zach Britton, was left in the bullpen holding the ball all warmed up.
So that's the first sports casualty of the Brexit.
Yes, Britton. Britton was left out. Zach Britton.
And that could cause the manager to lose his job, perhaps.
Buck Showalter has managed four teams in his career. He's won Manager of the Year three times. And every year after he's left the team that he won Manager of the Year with, the team has gone on to win the World Series the following year. The 95 Yankees, he was fired, and then the 96 Yankees won the World Series. After the year 2000, he was fired from the Diamondbacks, and the 2001 Diamondbacks won. He also was the manager down in Texas for the Rangers with A-Rod, but they made the playoffs a couple years later in the World Series, but haven't won it. So I'm saying if Buck Showalter gets fired this offseason, put your money very quickly on the Baltimore Orioles for next season. It's just interesting how that happened. He does a lot of things by the book, but then he also eschews the book. He does things as the way he wants to. And he said after the game, people asked him, why did you leave Zach Britton in, who has under one ERA in the bullpen?
No, the question was, why didn't he bring in Britton?
Yeah, that's the guy. That's Zach Britton. He had an amazing season. He only gave up one earned run.
Yeah, so how do you explain that away? You can't.
That was the one time he played by the book, where it's you don't bring your closer in
till you get the lead
on the road until you have the lead, and he paid for it. He also was moving so many guys. He had so many pitching changes. Ubaldo Jimenez, who gave up a single, back-to-back singles, and then a home run, all on like two or three straight pitches. He came in the middle of an inning when there was one out already. So it was very ridiculous, and I think he overthought it and overmanaged it, and it might cost him his job, but we don't know. So that's happened last night, and then currently, as we're recording, the New York Mets and the San Francisco Giants are playing each other in the National League wildcard game. The big talk is Madison Bumgarner and Noah Syndergaard, both tall, lanky, fireball. Well, Noah Syndergaard's the fireballer. Madison Bumgarner's the bulldog of the play. Like, just he's got an amazing playoff.
He challenges hitters.
He last time he was in the playoffs in 2014, he won both the NLCS and the World Series MVP. So this is supposed to be a pitcher's duel. But here we are on the top of the first in Citi Field. So that's what's going on right now in the world of baseball. But let's move over to the NFL very quickly. Let's talk about week four. I think the biggest surprise or noteworthy game off the top was the Bills shutting out the Patriots for the first time in New England at Foxborough, or even the old Foxborough, Gillette Stadium, whichever you call it, 16-0, the first time the Patriots have been shut out at home since 1993.
They beat the third-string quarterback?
Jacob Brissett, which is kind of surprising because going into the game, it seemed like it was going to be Garoppolo starting. And then somehow, you know, maybe the shoulder wasn't quite up to speed, but Jacob Brissett started and he fumbled away, and they were prepared for him. I think there was a, you know, Rex had a joke afterwards that they had a quote-unquote a spy inside the Patriots organization, letting them know that Jacob Brissett was going to start over Garoppolo.
I'm not sure I believe that.
Nah, you don't think
so? I want to believe it.
I kind of wanted to believe it too. Because it is kind of funny to think, but at the same time, he might have just planned for both, or maybe he found something that they do similar and planned for that.
Now, does Brady come back in full stride?
You got to think, but over the last couple seasons, it takes him a couple. I mean, famously, 2 years ago, you know, with the Chiefs game where they lost that Monday night, like
right.
40-something, and we're on to Cincinnati, we're moving on to Cincinnati. So, I mean, that was by, like, what, week three, week four when that happened. So, it might take a couple weeks. It might be still Brady, but Gronkowski has been MIA. He's been on the field the last two games, but he has, I think, one reception. No, he's done nothing, which I will still harp on the Madden curse, I truly believe, is alive and well. So... So do you have any other thoughts on that game, Alex? The Bills
I thought it was interesting watching the game because it was like Martellus Bennett got like 100 yards and off 5 receptions. It was interesting seeing the sort of third string quarterback consistently going to the tight end. And not the tight end I would have thought. Like, again, I was surprised how little Gronk has done. Martellus Bennett, the unexpected recipient of all those yards. But it was a really out of sorts game for the Patriots. Like, just didn't look like getting anything going.
And a very rare outburst of emotion from Belichick. He picked up one of those tablets and just threw it.
Not just one of those tablets.
Alex,
yeah,
it was Microsoft
right.
tablet. It wasn't
an
Apple. They
paid a lot of money to have their name bandied everywhere in the NFL. So. No. iPads, obviously. iPads. I did enjoy seeing him smash the tablet.
Well, you'll be happy to know it was a Microsoft tablet. It wasn't an
iPad.
Alex works for a fruit company. A big, very, depends on how you look at it, Falcons 48-33 over the defending NFC champs, the Panthers, who are out of sorts. Matt Ryan throws over for 500 yards, and Julio Jones goes over 300 yards. Most shockingly, I find, he only had one touchdown in that game. But
that's a tribute to Ryan, top rated.
Yeah, Matty Ice, he lives.
But my question about the Falcons is, when are they going to start buckling it? Because every year they get off hot, and then they end not great and go out in the playoffs. So I am waiting for the team to break, and that may be unfair given how they're performing, but I still feel like I can't trust the Falcons.
I think you're very right in that. If I was better prepared, I'd know their bye week, and then I'd maybe just point to their bye week and say starting after
their
bye week.
They're in the high altitude now, but coming from Atlanta, the second highest altitude city.
In the United States?
In pro sports, I think.
Oh, in pro sports, yes.
Yeah.
I think that's until Las Vegas gets a hockey team, but besides that point.
Yeah, so we'll see there. But the bigger story there is the Panthers, and it's particularly Cam Newton. But I've never remembered a team whose quarterback has the most carries and the most rushing yards that was a complete team. So there's something going on wrong there. I think there were 13 design runs by the quarterback in that game alone. That's putting your man at risk.
And it sure did. He went out with a concussion on a weird two-point conversion where he stopped at the goal line.
Well, he relaxed like he was going to coast, but somebody's going to be there. This is the NFL.
Yeah. Somebody's going to go for that head, especially his.
And Rivera, the coach, I mean, he was complaining from the beginning of the season. Why didn't we get a home game? Well, he should have won the Super Bowl. He would have had one.
They don't dare.
So, you know, when the coaches are whining and Cam Newton pouts when things aren't going his way, it's I count them out for the Super Bowl.
And I think you're right so far. It's not looking good. And, boy, that dealing away Josh Norman, he couldn't have been that bad.
No, talking about Josh Norman in wow. Right? He gets a penalty flag thrown on him for unsportsmanlike conduct by Jeff Triplett, and he called it, quote, doing a bow and arrow, unquote. So in the rules for excessive celebration, this is a quote, these acts include and are not limited to throat slash, machine gun salute, sexually suggestive gestures, prolonged gyrations, or stomping on a team's logo. So somewhere in there is the bow and arrow, too.
I'm guessing the weapon thing. I don't know. Wow.
I wanna know who came up with the definition of prolonged in gyration. Like, temporary gyration, well, fine. Prolonged gyration, too much.
Well, like, twerking is more of a thrust than a probe, so I don't know how that got included.
I think because he did it for too long. There's a great
prolonged. Oh, that's the prolonged part.
Well, yeah. Key and Peele do a show on Comedy Central, as many people know, but they had a great bit where it takes place on a football field, and the player scores a touchdown, and he's doing like twerking and thrusts, and he gets penalized because he does a third thrust. If he just stuck at two, he'd be fine. It's very humorous if you haven't seen it. Key and Peele football sketch, very funny.
Well, it's the no fun league.
That's right. Hitting quickly, you mentioned Josh Norman. The Redskins beat the Browns 31-20, so they're on the right track, it seems. Raiders, in the same state of Maryland, the Raiders went on the road for a second time, winning 28-27 over the Ravens. Michael Crabtree with three touchdowns, a big day for him. And aside from not being able to stop anybody on defense, the Raiders look like it might be their year, at least to make the playoffs. I don't know how far they'll go.
I think
there.
They've given up the most or second most yardage in the league, so that's a little worrisome.
It is.
I'm surprised how many points they're putting down just in the passing game. I thought their running game would be much more involved than it is.
Well, with that...
Especially as a fantasy owner with Latavius Murray in most of my leagues, I definitely hoped they would be doing more running.
And as an Amari Cooper owner in one of my leagues, I'm very disappointed in that he hasn't been getting the fair share from Derek Carr. It seems like Michael Crabtree is the breakout star there along with Derek Carr. So can't have it every way, I guess. You just said the way
it's
happening.
He'll get his chance.
Yeah, I know. He'll get his chance. It'll be big. The poor Chargers can't finish out a game for the fourth week in a row, giving up on two costly fourth quarter turnovers, one a fumble, and then two fumbles, actually, one by the running back and then one by the wide receiver, Travis Benjamin, untouched. Just fumbled it away. That allowed the Saints to come back and win 35-34 in San Diego.
If you needed any better illustration of just life as a Chargers fan, just the untouched fumble, how do you live with yourself?
It's more thunder than lightning.
Yeah. That's very true. Yeah, so, and that happened. And then the Steelers, in what was called by Coach Mike Tomlin, Redemption Sunday, redeemed their loss in Philadelphia by beating up on the hapless Chiefs. My goodness, they could do nothing right. By scoring 21 points in the first quarter en route to a 43-14 win Sunday night.
Well, it's very difficult to go against the Steelers on Sunday or Monday night.
It's true. I mean, they get up for those games, for those big primetime games.
And sometimes the loss is good, and I think you'll see that with New England.
You might just.
A loss can be good.
Oh, yeah, a learning experience, if you will. And then finally, to top it off, Vikings beat the Giants 24-10. Odell Beckham is absolutely shut down, but we kind of figured that might happen. He doesn't have a good. First of all, Eli is 2-5 against the Vikings, in his now 2-6, and they were just all embarrassed.
But the huge distraction that he is. But I'm thinking back: has there ever been a Super Bowl winning team that had a diva wide receiver?
That had?
Yeah.
Do we count Michael Irvin?
But that's the question. Would you?
I think
he was all business on the field. And that didn't distract him. He almost brought that as incentive.
Well, if we're talking about the 90s Cowboys, I think you might have to supplant Deion Sanders as opposed to Michael Irvin. You know what I mean? Like Deion, if basically Michael Irvin and Deion Sanders switch spots on the team, then yes, I would say so.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? It's such a huge distraction. I mean, you can think of T.O., you can think of other guys.
Moss.
Where it hasn't worked out. Look at Vernon Davis, what happened in the playoffs with him. I mean, you know, these emotional characters break down, and it affects the team around them.
That's absolutely true.
And his
does Plexico Burress count as a diva?
No. No, I'd have to say no. I mean, none of the Steelers wide receivers, none of the Packers wide receivers for all the...
every receiver wants the ball, but... And then when Beckham was getting the ball, he was dropping it. So, you know, he's distracted. He wants to be the tough guy in the field.
Of course.
And he's not. I mean, this league has humbled a lot bigger men than him.
Oh, that's for sure. I will make a caveat to that. Keyshawn Johnson. My caveat is he was older.
Give me the damn ball.
He was older. He was with the Tampa Bay Bucks. He was not the main wide receiver there. So that's the only caveat I'll give to that. But he wasn't his distracting self as he had been early in his career. So that was week four in the NFL, gentlemen and ladies, and listeners around the world. So let's move on to week five. Dad, do you have any best bets for week five coming up?
Well, I mean, I like the Steelers on a roll against the hapless Jets.
And what's the line on that?
At line 7.5.
Jets getting 7.5?
Yeah, 7.5, yeah, depending where.
Yeah, I think I'd like to, I think maybe taking the Steelers.
But I think the interesting game, even though it's not divisional, is the Eagles at Lions. Now, Wentz has been fantastic. I mean, almost flawless. And Jim Schwartz used to be the head coach at the Lions, so I'm sure that's quite personal for him to get this victory.
And I'd even go as far to say that Carson Wentz is flawless because he has yet to throw an interception. Heard a stat. All these young quarterbacks, Dak Prescott, Carson Wentz, zero interceptions. Just a lot of the young guys coming in are looking really, really good.
Let's not lose it and then win it later.
Right. So, do you have any games you're looking forward to this week, Alex?
I think the Rams are going to upset the Bills. That's my pick. I think the Bills coming off a really big win in New England. And the Rams have a habit of crushing the better teams. Like, you see how they just destroyed the Seahawks. Like, I think that's going to be a result. I think it'll be a good game, but we'll see what happens. I think it'll be interesting.
I think they played the Cardinals last week.
Yeah, they did, but that Cardinal team has fallen apart. A lot of these teams you come in, I mean, it speaks to the parity of the league. So many teams coming into the year that you thought would get off to hot starts and keep up with the Cardinals, the Panthers, look at the Chiefs. I mean, all these teams that came into the season, you were expecting big things out of them, have faltered right away.
But that's because they did big things last year, and we always think of the next year as just a continuation of the year before, and it's not.
No, it's not. Very good point.
But the Bills, I think Alex has a great point there, because Rex Ryan's a bit of a barn burner, so he builds these teams up too high.
He does.
And the next week, they get a flat tire.
And boy, did they fall. They have fallen flat many times in the past, and I think you guys might be right about that, the Rams. Now, don't forget, they're 3-1. If with that win, they'd be 4-1 in one of the tougher divisions, even though it hasn't shown it quite yet, one of the tougher divisions in all of the NFL.
And I think the Cowboys might lose against the Bengals, even though the Cowboys are at home, but they really haven't played anybody either.
Right. Bengals, they're trying to get on track, and that could be interesting. Be interested in that game. I want to talk very quickly, Alex, about some Premier League news. Swansea, am I pronouncing that correct? Swansea becomes the first Premier League to hire an American head coach in Bob Bradley. Was it Bob?
Yeah.
Bob Bradley. He, the former U.S. men's national soccer coach, who led them most recently to the last couple World Cups and Confederation Cups and what have you. So big deal over there.
Yeah, it's been making a lot of the news rounds trying to work out who it is, because a lot of the Premier League managers, you tend to just, you know their names because they manage elsewhere, and it's very rare that you get almost a complete, or at least a complete outsider, at least from a British perspective, coming into a Premiership team. So it'll be an interesting experiment. I mean, Swansea, they've got a bit of a history of bringing in good managers who play sort of, quote-unquote, the right type of football. So it'll be interesting to see. But yeah, I think it is, a lot of people looking at it as a bit of an experiment to see, like, how do foreign managers who don't have Premier League experience come in, and what do they do to the team?
Yeah, I heard, I'm sorry, I heard an interesting editorial, you know, that the Premier Leagues only hire, like, they're looking for other coaches with Premier League experience, which means that the same coaches just move around to each team, and they never really let these new ones in. But hasn't there been, like, a Dutch or any other European national soccer coach coming in? Because I thought that, like, a couple clubs had, like, Dutch or Spanish or Italian.
Oh, yeah, no, but you what you will normally see is you will get in a coach from another European league. So, yeah, a recent one was Louis van Gaal for Man United, who has since left. And since he left, Jose Mourinho has come in, who has previously managed at Chelsea and Real Madrid and Inter Milan, and, like, you tend to just get this carousel of top managers all going to top European clubs. And to get someone completely outside of the top of European football come in, it is more rare.
Sounds like a fraternity.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, no, it 100% is. Because, again, it's like in any business. When you need to hire a new CEO, you just poke someone else's CEO. Like, it's very difficult to break in. Like, football's often seen as a business now, so I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense. It will be very interesting to see. I hope that happens. You know, you see a lot of... Because the ones that really make news for American soccer players are, like, Tim Howard, when he got signed by, I think it was Tottenham.
Yeah,
and then, you know, a couple of these other ones who are on loan to different Premier League teams and stuff like that. So now you actually have a coach going over, which I think is really, really big for American soccer and just the Premier League in general.
Yep.
We didn't talk much about it last week. We had a shorter episode, but fantasy football, we haven't talked to you in a little while, Alex. How are your fantasy football teams doing?
Good. I'm in five leagues, and four are winning, one is tying, and one is losing.
Nice.
It's always frustrating when the one league you have that's losing is your best team, and you've scored the most points.
Yes.
Of any of my teams, and it's got the 1-3 record, and it just, I'm looking at the team and it's stacked, and I don't understand how I'm 1-3. It's awful. It's an awful feeling being like, I don't know what to do. I'm an amateur.
Yeah, a lot of the running backs have really, you know, with the injury to Adrian Peterson and the ineffectiveness of some of them, and also, I mean, there's no real one running back anymore, aside from Ezekiel Elliott, who's just absolutely taken on that mantle of, you know, star running back in the NFL. There hasn't been a lot of consistency at the running back position or even at the wide receiver position.
You know, with a lot of these triple sets you see, that's going to open up the run game, because you're going to have to move people outside to defend against that, and it's just a natural inside lane if you can get it blocked.
That's very true. My fantasy leagues have been on and off. I'm in, what am I? I'm 2-2 in one league. I'm 1-3 in another. And then I'm 4-0 in my third league. It's the newest league I'm in. I'm in with some parent friends of mine. And I'm 4-0, first place, most points scored. So
is this you thrashing around in the kiddie pool with people who don't know what they're doing?
No. only one person, because it's four sets of husbands and wives. So like myself and my wife Leah are in it, and then other couples that we know. So, you know, four couples in all, and each husband and wife have a team. Only one of them is it their first year playing. All the other ones have at least had 1 year of experience, some more than that. So I just happened to, you know, I just happened to do the best I did on draft day. And
I'm not going to lie to you, Chad. I prefer to think of it as you, you being the shark in the kids' tank.
That's very nice.
It's a better narrative.
Alex, I appreciate that very much, so thank you very much.
That's my boy.
That's right. Very quickly, coming into, because next time we'll talk will be after the playoffs have started. We know that very quickly I want to talk about the baseball playoffs. So now the Toronto Blue Jays are in. They're going to face the Texas Rangers, who they have had brawls all last year, all this year. There was a fight at second base between Odor and Jose Bautista early in the season, and then last year with Jose Bautista's big bat flip that caused a lot of tension. So this is a rematch that's on a lot of people's minds that people are going to look at as well. And then, of course, you have the Boston Red Sox returning to the playoffs to face the upstart Cleveland Indians. In this first
the
round...
Indians, that's a big story.
That's a very big story. The Cleveland Indians making the playoffs, winning the Central Division, holding off the Tigers for most of the year, and then making their way through. And they did it through a combination of good pitching, not great pitching, but good pitching and good hitting. I would love to see them move on, but Boston Red Sox looks way too good. David Ortiz has had the best retirement season of any player ever.
Retirement, it's over for him?
It is apparently over. It was his long goodbye. The Red Sox have actually said that his number will be retired next year, which is usually a break from their a small break from their tradition, because they usually wait a couple years after. I think one of the requirements is if you're a former Red Sox player, you have to be inducted into the Hall of Fame first before your number's retired. But now they've pretty much just said, next year, we're retiring your number, so come on back next year. We'll give you a big ceremony, which is a big deal. So, yeah, I think the Boston Red Sox will beat the Indians. And then I kind of like Texas in a short series over Toronto.
Well, they're perennials.
Who, the Texas Rangers? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think I saw a stat, like four of the last 6 years they've made the playoffs and twice.
Yeah, they play good ball.
They play very good ball. They're going to mash the ball a lot. They have one or two really good starters, and you hope the bullpen holds out. So, and then in the National League, the winner of this series will go on to face the Cubs. The Cubs, who it looks like it, everybody thinks that this might be the year they break their 108-year streak of winning the World Series, and they haven't been to the World Series since 1945, I forget which one.
Forever.
Several generations. So it'd be really interesting to see if either the Mets or the Giants, whoever wins this game, can beat the Cubs, or if the Cubs are the team of destiny. As a Met fan, personally, I would like to see them beat the Cubs, but I don't know if that is the fact. And then the other series, we have the Washington Nationals versus the Dodgers. I like the Dodgers too much. Dusty Baker has a habit, a tradition of failing in the playoffs, not by his own desire, just that's what happens.
And we have the back history of the Nationals.
The Nationals, formerly the Expos, and
Senators.
Senators, all Washington teams. First in war, first in peace, last in the American League East. Some along those lines. So I like the Dodgers over the Nationals, and maybe the Cubs or maybe the Mets. I don't know.
So. Now you're talking about retirements. What about Vin Scully?
Vin Scully retiring, the last holdover from the Brooklyn Dodgers, retired after, what was it, like 46, I forget how many years, on the job. Probably the most imitated announcer next to Howard Cosell. Retired.
But definitely the most well-liked.
The most well-liked, the most charismatic. And he didn't just do baseball games. He did World Series games as well, but he also did football games. He was the radio broadcast, I think the radio broadcaster for The Catch, Montana to Clark. He's called a couple Super Bowls too. So he was a very, very big deal. And
his voice held up throughout his whole career.
Yeah. Yeah, Vin Scully. I mean, I think Hank Azaria, the voiceover
he
artist.
He said he spoke enough words for a lifetime.
Yes. He did a lot. And it was just, I mean, the way he painted the picture everybody points to with his retirement. If you go back to, who is it? Sandy Koufax, his Perfect Game in the 60s. And just listen, and you know, after each pitch, he mentions the time and like really paints the picture for all those who are there. And it still holds up that night.
Well, radio was so big then.
Radio was it.
So you had to be descriptive. Now we'd like the announcers to speak less because we have the visual.
And he never had a color commentator during his Dodger games. It was just him in the broadcast booth. Nobody else.
Perfect.
Vin Scully retired. And he declined to do any national games. He's not even do radio broadcasts for the Dodgers playoff game. So.
And how about we mention the passing of Arnold Palmer?
Arnold Palmer. The king.
The true gentleman.
Western Pennsylvania. Him and Jack Nicklaus and all those others really brought golf into the modern
day. Everyday life.
Yeah, every day. I mean, think about it. And I heard a really interesting point. How many people do you know that have a drink named after them? You know, I think that...
The yeah. Klinghoffer?
Two shots and a splash. I mean, Arnold Palmer was... He was everything to the game of golf, and his personality, you know, in Western Pennsylvania. Talk about Pittsburgh. I've heard, like, in Pittsburgh, they ask about three things, or talk about three things, really, that they see as iconic. The Steelers, Arnold Palmer, and Bruno Sammartino. Like, those are the three that are really, even today, are still big, so.
Huge.
So, Alex...
Well, on the topic of golf,
yes.
Ryder Cup's just concluded.
Yes, the Americans.
America taking it.
Now, what was that, Animal House with the fans screaming at all kinds of players and mocking them? And it got a little unruly, didn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to use the phrase, it's just not cricket. But, I mean, it was fun to watch the American fans. I'm not sure it's fun to play in, and I don't know whether it's... I think the problem is it's now just going to, every time it's hosted in America, it's just going to get more boisterous. It's going to get more extreme. And I don't think this time quite set the mark, but I think next time, two times from now, might.
That's the ugly side of...
What point do you say, okay, this isn't golf anymore. This is just people being baited by the crowd.
This is the ugly side of nationalism.
Yeah. Well, although I will say there was a great story about a heckler giving chat to Rory McIlroy for not being able to sink a putt, and one of the guys put $100 that the heckling fan wouldn't be able to sink it. So naturally, the guy steps up and drills it straight down the hole, and that was one of my favorite stories from the Ryder Cup. If nothing else,
I saw that video, and the guy who came on to and did all that, like when he was trying to, they were trying to give him the money, and he pushed it off a couple times, and he finally accepted it. So you could tell that was good natured. But I've heard it talked about, like, first of all, those fans are right on top of you. You know, sometimes they have those grandstands, but a lot of those golf fans will just walk with all the players as they're going. Like, they'll walk to the next hole. And, you know, they sell alcoholic beverages, and they're getting close. And, you know, I've even heard reports of some of the American golfers kind of egging them on. Like, come on, yeah, let's get this party started. Let's go. I'm pumped. We're winning. Let's do this. And then the fans could sort of caught on to that, and they sent it back towards the Europeans, although not as positively. So, yeah. But, yeah, the next time it's going to be in Europe, and then it's coming back, I think, to, like, Bethpage. In 2020, 2024, one of those two.
I think it needed publicity because, yeah, I think it was waning.
Oh, absolutely. I think that the Ryder Cup specifically was waning, yeah. It was interesting. Well, Alex, I'd like to thank you again for joining me on this episode.
Thanks so much for having me.
And we'll try to get you in person before you're gone. Bon voyage.
That's a must do.
Yes, absolutely. Dad, thank you again for joining us as well.
You're welcome.
Our number is 626-427-7678. That's 626-427-7678. 76-78. Andrew, please take it away.
This has been another episode of Everyman Sports. The show's music is Cold Funk by Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under CC Attribution 3.0. Everyman Sports can be found on Facebook.com, where you can like it to receive updates and news. Visit Everyman Sports in the iTunes Store to leave a review of the show. Also, visit everymansports.podbean.com directly to comment and support. Everyman Sports can be contacted directly at everymansports@gmail.com.